All right, before we start with tonight's message, I actually have a wonderful testimony that I want to share with you. You know, the Bible does say that when God does something for us, we should share it as a testimony to others. And this week I experienced something amazing, something wonderful that I've never experienced before, that I've trusted God for. And I got a phone call this week that I need to go and pray for somebody that was really, really ill. They'd been ill for a very long time. And the family was very concerned. And to make a long story short, when I got there, I went with the family to the room, and we found that the person had passed away. The lady was dead. How do we know that she passed away? Well, she wasn't breathing. There was no pulse, and her body was ice cold. And they didn't realize that she was dead because they didn't think that she was that bad. And so we stood there, and what must we do? We start praying. And I started praying. I laid hands on this lady, and I started praying, and I called life back into her. I rebuked the power of death. And then the most amazing thing happened. The power of God came into that room, and suddenly that woman just gave this long... Her spirit came back into her, and within 5 minutes, she was sitting up, and God healed her. Amen. Yeah, God is good. Yeah. And I must be honest with you, I'm still blown away. I'm still walking on clouds. I actually don't feel like preaching tonight, to be very honest with you. But I'm blessed. I am very, very blessed. And, you know, God is a good God. And He is able to do what He says in His Word He will do. And you know what? I want to just give God all the praise and I want to give God all the glory that I could experience that in my lifetime. I'm praying that God will give me the opportunity to experience that again. Not that I'm praying that you will die, you understand? You can be all right. But, you know, it's a wonderful thing and it's a testimony and it shows us that God is real. You know, this does a lot for your faith. And faith is something that all of us, we need it. Sometimes our faith is a bit low. You know, we take knocks. We go through difficult times. Things go wrong. Man, you have no idea how many things have gone wrong in my life lately. And this just picked me up and gave me a boost. And it's like, I'm blessed for what God did for this lady. And I'm also blessed for what God did for me. And I'm also blessed for what God did for the family. I'm blessed for everything. You know what? This is something amazing. This is something big. This is something wonderful. To be honest with you, I haven't slept well lately because my mind is stuck on certain things, but it's amazing and I'm not complaining. It's just wonderful. It's just wonderful, wonderful. And I actually had some really amazing experiences with God this week. I think probably because my spirit is all charged and I'm all excited and I'm trusting God for new things. And I'm very, very blessed and I'm looking forward to this evening and I'm looking forward to the time that we're going to spend in ministry because I really believe the power of God's going to move in this place in an amazing, amazing way. And I want to say this to you. This is just something that the Lord laid on my heart. You know, when the power of God is there to raise the dead, there is an anointing to turn death into life. This week, I experienced that anointing flowing through my hands and I don't believe it's gone. I believe it's still here. So tonight, I want to say to you that if you have the valley of dry bones inside of you, then you should start speaking to God right now. And you should start speaking to God about that valley of dry bones being resurrected and the life of God coming back. I don't know what's going on in your life. I know we all got problems. Trials and tribulations touches everybody. And sometimes we've been down in a pit for a very long time and we've almost come to a place where we've accepted our fate and our lot in life and it's like, oh, you know what, it'll happen for that one, but it will not happen for me. You know, for some weird reason, God will do for others, but He won't do for me. And that's wrong. That's not the way it works. If God can give life, He wants to give life to you too. The Word of God tells us that the thief came to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but Jesus came that we might have life and that we might have life more abundantly. And I've experienced in my own capacity that abundant life is possible. You know, I know that they say that once you are dead, you are dead. And I don't know how long it takes for a body to cool down. I think it takes a bit of time. And for that spirit to come back into that body and for that person to be alive again, you know what? That's a miracle. That doesn't just happen. God is good. And I want to say to you that I really believe that tonight that anointing and that power is still here, and I believe that God is still going to touch people. So whatever it is that you need to bring before God, whatever it is that you need life to come back into, whether it be your mind, whether it be your body, whether it be your finances, whether it be your work situation, you bring that before God. And tonight when we pray for people, you trust God for a divine impartation of that anointing to raise the dead. Amen? Can we all give God a big hand, please? Amen. Amen. Well, she got life. There we go. Amen. We're all blessed. We're all happy with you. We're all happy with you. All right. Yeah, we are busy speaking on the Holy Spirit. And why is that important? Because without the Holy Spirit, we have no Christian life. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot walk with God. You see, it is the Spirit of God that links us to God. It is the Spirit of God that opens us up to experience God. You know, Jesus taught the disciples once how to pray. In fact, the disciples came to Jesus and they said to Jesus, "Lord, please teach us how to pray." And Jesus said to them, well, when you pray, pray along these lines. It's kind of like what he said to them. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Now that's very important. God wants his kingdom to come. Do you understand that? What is important for God? Let's look at that. Probably I'm deviating a bit now from what I want to talk about, but let's just go with it and see where it ends up. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. When we pray, it's first about God, not first about me. And when we have our priorities wrong, our prayers are ineffective. When you pray, the first thing you pray is about God, our Father who art in heaven. And just to give you an idea, that word, our Father, is a word that can only be used when you are related to that person. You know, like in the Catholic Church, you will refer to the priest as the Father, but you are not related to him. You understand that? It's a title. The word Father, as it was given by Jesus to the disciples, is not a word that just associates them with God or a way of us to give God a title. It implies the fact that we are children of God. So immediately in that prayer, we are given the hope that we are not outside, we are inside, and we are part of the system. We are part of the family of God. So our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. One thing you have to understand about God, his name is important. Why would you say his name is important? Well, there's power in his name. Do you remember when the Romans came to arrest Jesus, the Roman soldiers? They asked a question. They said, "Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus of Nazareth?" Jesus said these words, "I am." What is that? It's one of the names of God. He said, "I am." And the Bible says immediately all the Romans fell down on their faces. Why? Because of the power that was released by the name of God. When he spoke the name of God, he released power. But our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It is important that we exalt the name of God because it is only through God that people can get saved. God wants his name to be spread from east to west, from north to south, up and down, left, right, and center. Everybody needs to know who God is. And every time we pray for God's name to be glorified, to be hallowed, to be held in high esteem, we are also praying and giving God the right to come down and reveal himself to people, which is exactly what the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about. It is for people to get to know God, to know who God is, and to come to salvation, to be restored in their relationship with God. So, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Very, very important. When you ask in the normal church, where is the kingdom of God? Let's just say if you go to a very traditional church and you ask the question, where is the kingdom of God? Somebody will probably raise their hand and say, in heaven. Who of you think it's in heaven? Okay, now nobody wants to raise their hands because you figured out it might be a trick question. But the fact of the matter is, The kingdom of God is not in heaven. Yes, it includes heaven, but it is not limited to heaven. The kingdom of God, the Bible says, the kingdom of God is within you. Do you know that? Louis, now here's a scary thought. The kingdom of God is within you. Amen? And in you. And in you, and in you, and in you, and in you. And what God is, what Jesus taught the disciples to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. In our lives, God wants his kingdom to come. In our work situation, God wants his kingdom to come. In our churches, God wants his kingdom to come. Now, what is this whole thing about the kingdom? The kingdom of God is the realm in which God rules. It is the realm of the supernatural. It is the realm where anything can happen. It is the realm where there are no limits. It is the realm where sickness, infirmity, disease, destruction, devils, demons, curses, everything has to bow before God. When the kingdom of God comes, the kingdom of God rules. The kingdom of God rules over sickness. The kingdom of God rules over death. The kingdom of God rules over destruction, curses, annihilation, whatever the enemy is busy doing, the kingdom of God rules over it. Can you understand that you need the kingdom of God to come in your life? If the kingdom of God doesn't come in your life, you can't live a life of victory. Because you in your personal capacity can't reign over the works of darkness. But through the kingdom of God and the manifestation of the kingdom of God, you can rule and you can reign the way Jesus wants you to. So the kingdom of God must come. Now, we were talking about the Holy Spirit. It is impossible for the kingdom of God to come in your life if the Holy Spirit is not allowed to be part of your life. Because the kingdom of God is made manifest by the anointing and the provision and the power of the Holy Spirit as he is at work in your life. Demons are destroyed by the Holy Spirit, but when the Holy Spirit destroys demons, it is declared the kingdom of God has come. Sickness, infirmity, disease is healed by the Holy Spirit. But when the healing takes place, it is declared that the kingdom of God has come. Do you understand? Miracles, signs, and wonders happen through the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit. But when that happens, it is declared that the kingdom of God has come. So, there are two things that need to happen. We want the kingdom of God to come, but we also can't get the kingdom of God to come if the Holy Spirit is not part of our life. The Holy Spirit enables us to enter into the realm of the kingdom. The Holy Spirit enables us to start living a supernatural life. Now, here's something very important. God called you to live a supernatural life. The problem is, we are very far removed from God. And the only thing we know, the only thing that makes sense to us is the natural life. The natural life where people tell us that's just the way it is. This person's not going to go very far in life. That person's going to have this sickness and there's nothing we can do about it. That person, their mind will never be fully there. You know, people get labeled. People get judged. People get put one side in a corner and forgotten about. Jesus never did that. Hello? Jesus didn't do that. Can I tell you why? Because Jesus did not have the limitations that we have down here. Because the limitations come from the world. But Jesus has overcome the world. And because he has overcome the world, whatever the world says doesn't have to go when he comes into that place. When the kingdom of God comes, sickness gets healed. When the kingdom of God comes, miracles take place. When the kingdom of God comes, demons have to flee. And these are all things that we battle with. Raise your hands if you don't battle with these things. Well, then I've got some good news for you. Jesus taught the disciples to pray, your kingdom come. Take a look at your neighbor quickly. Say, God wants his kingdom to come in your life. Now look at the person on the other side. Say to them, I have good news for you. The kingdom will come in your life. Amen. Yeah, bless God. And how does the kingdom come? When the Holy Spirit comes down. When the Spirit of God begins to move in our midst. You need the Holy Spirit in your life. You need the Holy Spirit in your prayer life. You need the Holy Spirit in your business. You need the Holy Spirit in your marriage. You need the Holy Spirit in your relationships with people. Whatever you do, wherever you go, God wants you to live one step higher than what you are living right now, because we live in the natural, but God wants us to step up and live our life in the supernatural. Why? Because the supernatural makes all things possible. You know where the Bible says all things are possible? It's true, but only for those who live their life in the power of the Holy Spirit. All things are not possible if we are not plugged into the power. Where does the power come from? The power comes from the Holy Spirit. Jesus did no signs, he did no wonders, he did no miracles until he was baptized in the Holy Spirit and the power of God came upon him. We can't be any different. You know, a lot of people want to go out and they want to go and do things. You know, I saw a video this week of a pastor who saw some videos on the internet of people casting out demons and people doing signs, wonders, and miracles. And he decided that he was going to do that. And it was actually caught on video camera. He started challenging demons in his church. And I want to tell you something. There's always some demon that'll pop. Demons like to be challenged because they like to fight. They got no problem with that. And there was this woman sitting in the church, and she had a whole bunch of seriously nasty chochos. Probably she was a witch doctor or something. I don't know. And this pastor started challenging the demons in this woman, and the demons started speaking to this pastor, and they said to him, "You better leave us alone because you don't know what's coming for you." And the pastor was like, "Oh, well, in the name of Jesus, wada, wada, wada." And the demon told him, "Listen, yeah, don't push your luck, because we are coming for you." And the pastor was like, "Ah, you just get away and go to the pit of hell," and whatever it was he said. And he couldn't cast the demon out. So eventually the woman left the church. That night, the pastor lost the use of his legs. A pain started coming into him, excruciating pain, to the point that he could no longer walk. They had to push him around in a wheelchair. Eventually, a couple of weeks later, another pastor had to pray for him and deliver him from the spirits that started attacking his life. Now, all I want to say to this is, the first pastor was not spirit-filled and didn't understand spiritual things and overstepped his boundaries. And maybe we should just talk about that, because probably some people need to listen. We all have a calling in this life. And my calling is not her calling, and her calling is not hers, and yours is not his. Everybody's calling is different. And you need to find out from God what your calling is. And even within your calling, you need to work within the level of anointing that God has given you. If you try and overstep that level of anointing, you can run into some serious, serious problems. In the book of Acts, chapter 19, we read the story of the seven sons of Sceva. Now, these were religious people, because Sceva was the high priest at that stage. So these boys, these seven people, grew up in the church. They grew up religiously. And everybody, because of the way they grew up, everybody was looking to them as leadership figures. Then a man by the name of Paul began to move in that area. And you know what Paul did? Signs, wonders, miracles, demons came out when Paul called on the name of Jesus Christ, and the people started getting all excited about this Jesus Christ, and a man by the name of Paul preaching Jesus Christ and demonstrating the power of God. So the seven sons of Sceva said to themselves, "You know what? If Paul can do it, listen, yeah, we are the sons of the high priest. How much more should we be able to do it?" So they decided that they were going to do exactly the same thing, because, hey, if the people get all excited about it, why not we get the glory? There was a problem with the way that they were thinking. God gets the glory, no man. So they went out and they started looking for a suitable client. What should I call it? Victim. Actually, they turned out to be the victims. And then they found somebody that was obviously seriously possessed. And the reason I can tell you that this person was obviously seriously possessed is because there was one person and seven sons of Sceva that were trying to cast the demon out of them. And the Bible tells us that the demon charged up in this person and beat up all seven of them to the point that they ran naked and bleeding down the street. Now, here's what you need to understand. They overstepped their boundaries. They did not have the Holy Spirit. They did not have the calling. They did not have the equipping. They actually had nothing. And when you start challenging the devil, he will fight back. Getting back to this pastor. Later on, the pastor actually acknowledged that he was simply trying to copy what he saw on the videos. There was no call on his life. He was not equipped by the Holy Spirit to do these things. And he thought it was just a case of, you point your finger, you rebuke the devil, you do this, you do that, and everything's going to work out for you. He learned a big lesson. You know, they show on that video how he has to crawl with his arms to get anywhere because his legs are gone. He's got no power in his legs. What did the demons do to him? Who knows? They do stupid things. They do weird things. But he also did not have the anointing of the Holy Spirit to do what he was trying to do. Why do we need the Holy Spirit? Because we can't operate in the supernatural without the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Let me see the hands of everybody that wants to live a supernatural life. Yeah. Well, here's the thing. In order for you to live a supernatural life, two things have to happen. The Holy Spirit needs to be working in your life and the kingdom of God must come in your life. And that means that your heart must be open to allowing the Holy Spirit to come. I want to actually say something else, just based on what I've just shared about this pastor. You know, when I saw this video this week, it actually touched me. There are a lot of people that try and copy what other people do. Listen to me carefully. You cannot copy what somebody else does. You cannot copy what another person does for God because you are not the same model. You know, the easiest way for me to explain it to you is this way. We have different makes of cars. We have different models of cars. And there is good reason for that because some people need a sports car. You know, just imagine that they need it. Some people need a mom's taxi. Yeah, we all need sports cars. I agree with you. I need three, but we'll talk about that later. Some people need a mom's taxi. Some people need a 4x4. Some people need a tiny little Toyota Corolla. Some people need a little Golfie. Some people need a big fast BMW. Some people need a train. Some people need a boat. Some people need an aeroplane. Depending on what you do and what you are called to do, etc., etc. Now, some models are tractors. Some models are trains. Some models are tiny little front-wheel drive, 1300cc Toyota Corollas. Some models are big M5 BMWs, rear-wheel drive, lots of power, lots of vuma. They all have their place in the sun. Now imagine if we take that nice M5 BMW and we hitch a plow to it and we try and plow the field. How long will it last? I don't care how good the German engineering is, something is going to break. Does that mean that there's a problem with the car? No, there's a problem with the driver. Because the driver is trying to use the car in a way that it was never designed to be used. And because he's forcing it to do something which it actually cannot do, he will break it. And even in the kingdom of God, sometimes these things happen. People break themselves. You know, a lot of people, I actually want to share this with you. A couple of years ago, I was preaching in Funabel Park. Two ladies came to see me at the meeting. After the meeting, they come to me and they say, Rion, we have lots of problems. So they start telling me about all of their problems. Both of them suffer from depression. Both of them have blood pressure problems. Both of them have intestinal problems. The list is endless. Then they have problems financially. Nothing ever wants to work out for them. They can't sleep at night. I don't even remember everything, but it was this huge long list. If you listen to them, problems, problems, problems everywhere. So while I'm standing there listening to them, the Holy Spirit speaks to me and he tells me that these two women have overstepped their boundaries and they did stuff that they were not equipped to do. And when you pick a fight with the devil, let me tell you something, he has no problem picking a fight back. And the devil shoots real bullets. He doesn't understand blanks. And when I asked them about it, this is what they told me. Some pastor told them to start challenging the principalities and the powers that ruled over their area and start praying against these things, etc., etc. So they started getting together at night and they would challenge the principalities and the powers and curse them and send them to hell and whatever it was that they were doing. And it was from that time that everything in their life started falling apart. And you know what? As I was listening to this, I was actually horrified because these poor women were trying to do something good, but no matter what their motives were, you know what? They were doing something stupid. And they were inflicting the vengeance and the rage of some really heavy-duty spirits. I listened to that and I said to them, you know what? You have to repent before God. Because number one, this is probably not your call. Number two, you don't have the anointing or the authority or the power to challenge those things up there. You don't have it. And whoever told you to do this obviously doesn't understand spiritual things. So I led them in a prayer where they confessed to God and they repented and they asked God to forgive them. And when I started praying for them, some of the most powerful demons, Leviathan, Jezebel, I forget some of the others, Beelzebub, all of these demons, one by one, started manifesting through them. You know why? Because they overstepped their boundaries. You must know your boundaries. You must know your limits. And later on, this pastor in this video, this pastor actually testifies and he says that he confesses before God that he was simply trying to copy what other people did. God never called him for it. God never walked a road with him in this. He saw something happen and he thought, oh, wow, you know what? I want that. He started trying to do something and he was forcing that car to go down the river. It's not a boat. It's a car. It's going to sink. It sank. And when the other pastor prayed with him, the other pastor led him in a prayer to also renounce what he had done, to ask God for forgiveness. Listen, yeah, God doesn't protect you from stupidity. Every decision we make has consequences. Some of them can be good, some of them can be bad. That pastor's calling is to preach. But that pastor's calling was not to go and challenge the powers of darkness. Before you do that, God has to walk a road with you, God has to equip you, and the Holy Spirit needs to start working in your life. And it takes time. It takes time. You know, let's talk about that. Sometimes we look at evangelists or men of God that have reached a pinnacle, they have reached a height in the kingdom of God. Like, I don't know, has any of you ever read Smith Wigglesworth's books? Just wave at me if you know who Smith Wigglesworth is. If you've read his books, you know, his books are amazing. And we read some phenomenal things that happened when this man prayed for people. I'll give you an example. A woman comes up to him. He had thousands and thousands of people coming to his crusades. And the most amazing healings took place. There were testimonies where people came there without legs. Then they would put a pair of shoes down. They would put the person in the shoes and in front of everybody, the legs just pushed up. You know, I mean, that's like scary, mind-blowing, amazing, miracle stuff. The one time he was standing in a queue, the people were standing in a row, and he was praying for this woman, yeah, and the man was standing next to her. And while he's praying for this woman, he keeps getting this thing, he must punch this man in the face. He must punch this man in the face. I know that sounds a bit weird, but what must you do? And he seemed to have been a very obedient man because when he went and stood in front of the man, he just pulled back and he punched him as hard as he could. And of course, when he punched the man in the face, the man was ready to just beat him up. This was a younger guy, and he came forward, and he was going to hit him. And just as he was going to hit him, he stopped, he felt his jaw, and he started praising God. And everybody was like, wow, what happened? Apparently, he had been walking around with massive pain in his teeth for a long, long time, and that's why he was standing there. And when he punched him, the pain disappeared. How did God do it? Who knows? But it happened. Amen? But how many of you know if I do that to Tony right now, probably he will beat me up. because I might be overstepping some boundaries here. Now, I can't do it because maybe your tooth will grow. Yeah, we should try that. We should try that. So in any case, making a long story short, this pastor went and he confessed that what he was doing was not, he was never called for it. That was something that he saw and he wanted to do it. Now there's a difference between you wanting to do something and God calling you to do something. Do you understand that? The Holy Spirit can't give you something that you do not have. You know what? You can keep telling, you know, there's this little, there's this story about the little train that could, and the train kept telling himself, I know I can, I know I can. Well, it doesn't work with spiritual stuff. You can't stand in front of somebody that is possessed and keep telling yourself, I can do it, I can do it. If God's not there with you, you can't do it. Wishful thinking doesn't work. Positive thinking doesn't work. Name it, frame it, and proclaim it doesn't work if the anointing is not there. Getting back to the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to work with us. There is not one of us here that can do anything for God in our own strength. You can't lead people to salvation without the Holy Spirit. You can't speak to people and have them convicted about sin without the Holy Spirit. We will be looking at the scriptures that prove all of this later. But the fact of the matter is, if you want to live a supernatural life, if you want to make a difference in this world, if you want the power of God to radiate through you and touch the people around you, which is not impossible, it is entirely possible, you need what Jesus had. Jesus was simply filled with the Holy Spirit. In fact, the Bible tells us that upon Jesus was the Spirit of God without measure. In other words, Jesus could never run out of anointing. Jesus could never encounter something that he couldn't deal with because he had sufficient anointing for anything and any situation, any eventuality that came across his path. Upon my life is the Spirit of God with measure. Upon your life is the Spirit of God with measure. But here's the good news. The more you walk with God, the more you are obedient to God, the more you listen when God speaks to you and allow the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you, you start growing in authority. You start growing in power. You start growing in anointing. I remember many years ago when God just started using me in the area of deliverance. Sometimes it would take me, I'm not lying to you, there was one specific occasion where it took me till 4 o'clock in the morning and I started praying for this woman at 7 o'clock at night. From 7 o'clock till 4 o'clock, I was fighting with one demon. We're not talking I cast out 50 demons that night. This one demon kept chirping me, back-chatting me, giving me a hard time. I tell you what, eventually I was like, one eye was closed, the other eye was like half-masked. I had no more energy, I had no more strength, and I was at the point where I didn't know what to do anymore. And it's not like I could stop because this demon was sitting there laughing at me the whole time, and I can't send the woman back to her husband like that. You know, something is going to go wrong. So I'm sitting there and I don't know what to do anymore. And eventually, 4 o'clock in the morning, she just suddenly doubled over and she started vomiting. And the demon left her. Now, I don't know how many hours that is, but that takes forever. By the grace of God, I don't battle like that anymore. But it took a long time for me to get there. I spoke to you just now about Smith Wigglesworth. I can speak about Reinhard Bonnke. I can speak about Benny Hinn. When you look at these people, it looks like everything comes easy. But I want to promise you something. Nothing comes easy. You walk a very long and a very difficult road because you have to prove yourself to God. God is not going to take an enormous amount of power and put it in the hands of somebody that has not proved himself to be faithful. God wants to see that you are faithful. You know, the Bible says, if I find you faithful in the little things, I will give you the big things. We all want the big things. And the Holy Spirit can help you to do the big things, have the big things, manifest the big things. But there is a way that things are structured in the kingdom of God. The big things follow the small things. And you know what I've noticed about most people? I think this is human nature, to be honest with you. We don't want the small things. You know, when you get involved in a ministry and they tell you to please help with the chairs or please just sweep the floor or something, you check those faces, just drop. No, listen, yeah, man, that's not what I wanted, you know. I want to be there where my hand is stretched out and I see the power of God and I this and that. But probably that's not the place for you right now, because if you start stepping there, even there you might be overstepping your boundary. I had a gentleman phone me in the week. He's very excited about God. He's very excited about what God is doing. God has used him slightly with deliverance and things like that. So guess what he's trying to do? He's trying to sort out sangomas and witches and all sorts of stuff. Guess where he is right now? In bed. Why? Because he's overstepping his boundary. Because he's trying to do things that he's not equipped to do. I can't say it's not his call, but he's only just started. And you know, if you start fighting and you've had two lessons, even if you've had lessons from some master, I know karate is not the best thing in the world and there's the money component, but let's just say Jackie Chan gave you some lessons. Now you've had two lessons from inside, now you're going to sort out Chuck Norris. How's it going to go for you? We all know nobody can sort out Chuck Norris, right? But how's it going to go for you? I mean, you're going to get a hiding, aren't you? No matter how good you think you are, no matter how much you've psyched yourself up, you can't do it because you still have to grow into that calling. We're speaking about the Holy Spirit. Friends, probably if there's one thing that I want you to realize today is that you need the Holy Spirit. You need the kingdom of God to come in your life. When the kingdom of God comes in your life, you will walk in the divine favor of God. Somebody asked me the other day, but what is favor? I'll explain it to you this way. Favor is simply when people look at you, they see you differently. Like when there's a crowd of 20 people in a shop, the shop owner will notice you, not the other 20. When there's a sale going on and he must make some decision, it'll go to you. It will not go to the others. When you're driving around and you're looking for parking, right in front of the store, this parking space will just divinely open up. Yes, you'll probably think to yourself, oh, that was lucky. Well, there's no lucky in the kingdom of God. There's divine favor. There's godly favor. It is the finger of God touching situations around you, pushing things out of your way, opening doors for you. And you know what? The people around you are thinking, geez, well, what is this? Has God got favorites? No. God's got favor. And the favor of God is upon your life. I had a gentleman. I met a gentleman once. God used him in the area of healing. He came from America. I forgot his name. I met him at a church. He was a guest speaker at one of the churches that I attended. I heard about this man. I went to this church and I listened to him. And I can actually share one of the testimonies that he shared. The first time that God actually used him in healing, he was actually sick himself. That day he didn't go to church. He felt sick and he didn't feel well, and he told his wife that he was going to stay at home. He had already, you know, he knew a lot about the Bible. He was a Bible scholar. Yes, he did have, to a certain extent, some faith, but he didn't feel well in himself, so he didn't go to church. And that night, when he didn't go to church, the Holy Spirit kept touching him and convicting him that he needed to go to church. And he thought to himself, this is crazy. I'm as sick as a dog. Even if I go to church, I'm going to make everybody sick. I don't want to go. And still this thing kept pressing on his heart. You have to go to church. You need to go to church tonight. So eventually he got in the car and he went to church. His wife was very surprised to see him there because she also thought that he was going to be at home passed out because he had fever and he wasn't well. He said to his wife, you know what, I don't know why, but for some reason I am here and I have this thing in my heart that I have to be at this church, so I don't know, I'm here, and if God wants to use me or if God wants to do something, then that's fine. So then this young boy comes walking up to him. The young boy stands in front of him. This is after the church service. He wanted to go home quickly. The young boy stands in front of him and the young boy says to him, I have a problem with my finger and God showed me that through you, he would heal me. So the man looked at this boy and he thought, man, you've lost it. What are you talking about? And when the boy showed him his finger, he actually had an underdeveloped thumb. The thumb was tiny and it was skinny and it had no power. It was like, I don't know, something went wrong when he was conceived. So he had a deformed thumb. So he looked at this And he thought, well, what am I supposed to do now? But he realized that God commanded him to go to church for a reason, and this must be the reason. And then he just said, well, Lord, I don't know what to do. You must help me. And he put his mouth to the young man's thumb, and he began to blow, like he would blow up a balloon. And the moment he did that, the thumb grew. Amen? Amen. The thumb grew. Yeah, give the Lord a big hand. Now, this guy, when God started using him in the area of healing, one of the big American evangelists heard about him, and they formed a friendship. And he started traveling with this evangelist, because this young man, back in the day, when I listened to him speak, he was already an old man. He was in his late 60s or 70s. And it was so interesting to hear about his life. And I'll never forget one of the other stories that he shared. He said that he was moving around with this evangelist. They went all over the world, and they saw a lot of healings. They saw a lot of miracles and signs and wonders. But he shared with us that walking with this evangelist was like the most amazing thing. And he spoke of the favor of God and the anointing of God upon this man's life. He said that this man had a ranch in a very dry area in the United States, probably somewhere in Texas or something. He had a huge ranch. And he shared how that ranch got the same rainfall as all the other ranches around. But the grass on that ranch was always long and always green. None of the other ranches around them had any grass. And often they had to make plans to get their cattle to come to certain areas in his ranch just so that they could have the feed and the grazing. And whatever this man did, things just seemed to always work out for him. And for some reason, everything was different in this man's life. And you know what? That touched me, because that shows me that when the Holy Spirit works in your life will be different. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have problems. It doesn't mean that you won't have trials and tribulations. Jesus said there will be storms. In this world, we will have troubles. Jesus was the Son of God, my friend. He was the most anointed man that ever walked the earth. But he had some problems. He was betrayed. He was stabbed in the back many times. Not everybody liked him. But he didn't let it put him off. He didn't let it put him down. He still lived a life of victory. And I don't believe it's going to be any different for us. The favor of God is not going to keep wrong people out of your life. Probably because of the favor of God, you're going to have even more people speaking about you. Probably because of the favor of God, people are going to be more jealous about you. But don't you think it's a bargain that there's something to be jealous about? I mean, if nobody's jealous about nothing in your life, then you probably really have a pathetic life, don't you think? So for all of you people that are jealous of me, I love all of you. You're doing me a favor. No, I don't accept your jealousy, but thanks for the vote of confidence. You bless me. Yes, you do. Because of the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Holy Spirit upon our lives will be different. And people will take notice. You know what? They might not see it immediately. They might not see it today. They might not see it tomorrow. But there's going to come a time in the life of the people surrounding you that one day the Spirit, the finger of God is going to touch them. And you know what? They're going to just start putting two and two together. And they're going to say, wow, what is it about this man or this woman that makes them so different? Because I've noticed a couple of things. They handle things differently. Things happen for them differently. And you know what? Maybe they're going to come and talk to you, and then you have the opportunity to share the gospel with them simply because of what they've seen. When the Spirit of God works in our life, the Spirit of God is called the living water. Listen to that. The Holy Spirit is called the living water. What are the qualities of water? Who can help me out? Well, water gives life. Water refreshes. Water invigorates. Water energizes. Water cleanses. And so the list goes on and on and on, but there is no negative things that you can say about water except when a flood comes. But we actually want that flood in the Spirit. We want to be flooded by the Holy Spirit. And you know what? A lot of people are going through life dry. They don't have good things. And by that, I don't mean they don't have money. There's a lot of people out there, they got a lot of money, but they got no peace. They got no joy. They got no health. They got no life. They suffer from depression. They suffer from anger. They suffer from anxiety, frustration. Some of them are just lost. Some are permanently in a midlife crisis. But if you have the living water in you, something about you is going to be different. Let's look at the living water. When Jesus said this in the book of John chapter 7, he said, if we are thirsty and we come to him, he will give us the living water and we will never thirst again. And then he says, and streams of living water will come gushing from within us. Look at your neighbor and say, God called you to be a fountain of life. Did you hear that? Amen. Think about it. The implications are amazing. God called you to be a fountain of life. When you walk into a place and you are filled with the Spirit of God and the anointing and the power of God is upon you, that living water should be flowing out of you and touching the people around you. You should come to a place where, remember the Apostle Paul? No, Peter, who used to walk and his shadow would fall on people. And the people, the Bible says the people would be healed. Why was that? Was it the shadow that healed them? No, it was their proximity to him and the living water of God that kept flowing out of him. Because water, when it touches you, you get wet. I don't care who you are. When water touches you, you get wet. And the moment the water of the Holy Spirit touches somebody around you, by getting wet, some will get delivered, some will get healed, some will just feel something. And you know what? They, for some reason, they want to hang around you. Has any of you ever noticed that you, when you came to serve God and you began to be filled with the Spirit of God and you began to share testimonies and you began to speak about God, suddenly you got groupies. People wanted to hang around you. Why? Because something inside of you keeps touching something inside of them. The water of God inside of you touches the desert inside of them. And they don't know why. But they like to hang around you. They feel good when they hang around you. Yes, they might have depression. They might feel despondent. They have a lot of fears. But for the time that they are with you, they feel different. Why is God allowing them to feel that? Because that is God proving that he is real. That is God proving his existence. That is God working with you and confirming his word with signs and wonders that follow. And that opens the door for us to minister the gospel to people and see the change of God come and touch their life. We need the Holy Spirit, because without the Holy Spirit, we're going to go nowhere and we can do nothing. Can I tell you the last thing that pastor said on that video? He made the following statement. He said that he realized now that he was trying to deliver people and to heal people in his own power. You know, on that video, they actually showed when he was trying to pray for people. Okay, I actually want to talk about this. You know, sometimes when you pray for people, they'll fall over. And I, the first thing that I noticed, this man, he'd been watching some videos of other evangelists praying for people. And, well, obviously the people must fall over. So now you see him there walking, pushing this one, pushing this one, pushing this one. Oh, that one didn't fall. Just push him harder, you know. Kick his ankles a bit. Listen, you must go down. What's wrong with you? And you could see it was actually, in a way, he was mocking what God does. Stupidity. But in the end, he says, I realize that I tried to do this in my power and in my strength. You know, the Bible says it is not by might, it is not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. When the Holy Spirit is with you, when the Holy Spirit works with you, you don't have to use the flesh to do what God wants you to do. The Spirit of God does it through you. You don't need to use your strength. You don't need to use your power. And you don't need to work hard, because the Holy Spirit is the one that wants to do the work. The more you have to do, the less the Holy Spirit is doing. The more you allow the Holy Spirit to do, the less you have to do. Now, I'm not talking about going to work and sitting behind your PC and doing nothing. Oh, the Holy Spirit's going to do it. Now, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about spiritual things. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to work. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to work with us. I'll give you another example. The Holy Spirit is also called the spirit of wisdom. You have a business, right? You have a business. You have a business. I don't know what you guys do, but I know he has a business. When you run a business or when you have a job, you have to make decisions all the time. Am I right? And the decisions that you make can have big, big consequences, sometimes good or sometimes bad. The type of decisions that you make will determine whether you are going to go forward or whether the carpet is going to be pulled out from under you. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Wisdom for a reason, because He will supernaturally empower and endow us with wisdom. And without having studied business economics or anything like that, you can have somebody running an amazing business, making all the right decisions, putting two and two together and getting to the right answers all the time, not because they are well equipped in themselves, but because the Spirit of God is working through them and giving them the wisdom to make the right decisions. I don't know about you, but that's where I want to be. It's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. So here's the thing. You can work hard, or you can work smart. Which one you want to do? I don't know about you, but hard work doesn't appeal to me that much. Don't get me wrong, I don't mind putting in a good day's work. But I want to get a lot of return for the work that I put in. I don't want to get little return for the work that I put in. And if you work in the power of the Holy Spirit, everything you do will be blessed. The difference between working with the Holy Spirit and working without the Holy Spirit is like somebody sowing a seed. And Jesus said, when you sow a seed, there will always be a harvest, sometimes 30, sometimes 60, sometimes 100-fold. I want to be that man that gets the 100-fold harvest. Why must I have the 10-fold or the 20-fold or the 30-fold if the Bible says the 100-fold is available? But how do I get to the place that I receive the 100-fold harvest? I need wisdom. I need to make the right decisions. I need the favor of God upon my life. I need miracles now and then in my life. And all of these come when the Holy Spirit starts working in my life. And I want to say something to you. The Holy Spirit is available to everybody. The Holy Spirit is not some weird juju or some funny magic or whatever. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's a person that wants to know you, and He wants to know me, and He wants to work with us. Because He knows one thing. Here's the weirdness of God, and I mean that in a nice way, not in a disrespectful way. The kingdom of God is a weird place. But God, even though He is God, chose people to reveal Him to the rest of the world. And sometimes a nice way for Him to reveal Himself is for people to see His power in us, to see prosperity in us, to see health and life, vigor, enthusiasm, excitement, wisdom, etc., in us. Don't you think that God won't bless you that way if that would be a way to touch the people around you? Of course He will. The Bible says Jesus worked with the disciples and He confirmed His word through signs and wonders. What are the signs and wonders? Sometimes it's not the fact that somebody just got healed. Sometimes it's the fact that every door opens for you and the people around you start asking, but why? Ah, now you've got them. Now you can sit them down and say, you want to know? Let me introduce you to the God that takes me down the right path, that levels the mountains for me, that takes me through the valley of death and doesn't allow death to touch me, Amen. That always uplifts me, that picks me up out of the pit, that blesses me even though people around me curse me. And you know what? They will listen. Can I tell you why? Because with their own two eyes, they see something about you is different. Bless God for the Spirit of God. Bless God for the water, the living water of God. That is what we need. All right. That's all that I want to share with you tonight. But I do want to say this to you. Tonight when we pray, I'm trusting God for life. New life. I'm trusting God that death will make way for life. I'm trusting God for the finger of God to come and touch you where you have the need. I'm trusting God for the living water of God to come and fill you so that you can start bubbling wherever you go. That's what God wants. What's the best way to evangelize people? For people to come to you. Not for you to go to them, for them to come to you. Did Jesus ever have to go to anybody? No. Why not? Because he touched this one, this one, this one, and they went and called everybody, come, come, come see, come see. Isn't that the best way to evangelize? It's not to run after them. It's to get them to start running after you. It's for them to realize, you know what, God has the solution. And I want to say something to you. God does have the solution. The people of our generation don't believe anymore because they don't see. And some, even though they see, they've hardened their hearts. There's nothing I can do about that. But I can keep living the life God called me to live, and so can you. And for every one or two that's going to say this is rubbish or, well, that's nonsense, it doesn't happen this way, there's going to be three or four or five out there that will accept it. You know, this world is full of people that are crying out to God for change, crying out to God for miracles. Probably the churches that they're in treat it like these things belong to the annals of history. No. Healing still takes place. Miracles can still happen. God still does amazing things. And sometimes they need to encounter somebody like you or you or you to see that in their life. And that'll change their life. Amen? Amen. Is anybody excited about God? Well, bless God. Amen. All right.